Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hello and welcome to the Dublin Arsenal Preview Show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On the preview show, I'm joined by Brian Stuell and Brendan Boyle to chat in depth about our match day 17 Premier League clash against Everton at the Gunners and the Gunners' first visit to the Hill Dickinson Stadium. Everton v Arsenal will be live in Sky Sports Premier League at 8 p.m. So come join us in our supporters bar, the River Bar, 1 Bourke, Dublin City Centre. So sit back and enjoy the show. I'm delighted to be joined by, first of all, our New Yorker, Brian. How are you, Brian?
Good. It's been very interesting here of late. It was, okay, I got to do this for you guys correctly. Let's go with -5 over the weekend. And then it became now, I don't know what it is in Celsius. So I'm going to go with the American way. It's like 50 degrees today. So it's balmy, very nice, very confusing.
Great to have you on board again, Brian. It's been a while since you've been on. So thanks for coming on again. I'm also joined by Brendan.
My pleasure.
Boyle. It's been a while for yourself, Brendan. How are you keeping?
Not too bad. I thought I'd been blacklisted or something.
same.
lovely to be back.
He's have a lot to live up to, so let's hope the next half hour goes well. You're in the shop window, Henry. So.
That's the way to go.
It's great to have you on board, lads. Of course, Everton v Arsenal is probably now going to be called the Kevin Campbell Derby, of course. Kevin played for both clubs, played for Arsenal from 1988 to 1995, 165 appearances with 46 goals, and played for Everton from 1999 to 2005. 145 appearances with 45 goals. Kevin sadly passed away age 54 on the 15th of June 2024. Of course, the Kevin Campbell Foundation was founded, of course, shortly after his death. Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club are one of the ambassadors, as are the Irish Toffees Super Supporters Club and the North American Toffees as well are ambassadors of that charity. You can donate at donate.justgiving.com/charity/ Kevin Campbell Foundation. We aim to advance the lives of children and young people by providing or funding support and activities that develop their skills, capabilities to empower and enable them to realise their full potential. So any donations, no matter how big or small, will be gladly appreciated. And being the game that's in us, hopefully both sets of supporters can give something there. A great charity, Brendan, isn't it, for a legend for both clubs?
Absolutely. And I think he's one of those players that represented both clubs impeccably, really. And that's shown by how well thought of he is by both sets of fans. And that's a credit to the man himself. And you hear lots of stories, when somebody passes away about what a great guy he is. But the way I can relate to it is, as I say, how well thought of he is with Arsenal fans after he's left. And likewise, any Everton fans I've ever met have thought exactly the same. And they have a high regard for him also, which is a credit to the man.
Yeah, I know an Everton fan that's been on this show the last couple of times, Richie White, or, oh, Mr. Renan, today's Brad today. As people, fans would know him as, he's a big Everton fan, and I'm sure he would say likewise. He'd be on our review show Monday. Brian, did you know Did you see much of Kevin Campbell when he was a Gooner or a Toffee?
So I saw more of him obviously at the Toffee because I came into this obviously later with my or the country's lack of giving the due diligence to football. So basically, I mean, my start was coming from watching like some random games on RAI, which I know you probably never heard of, but it's like an Italian blah 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 blah. And that'd be on Sunday afternoons or something. My excuse to not go to church. And basically, I would see. So I got into that, and then when they finally graced us with the Premier League games, that was past the time that he was on Arsenal. So I got to find my way to dislike him, as I like dislike everybody who plays against me. So finding out more about him going forward, I'm like, ah, well, maybe I shouldn't have this broad association for everybody who's once played against Arsenal. So yeah, I guess that's as much as I'll give you now before I go into tomorrow mode. Just leave it at that. I
That's
mean, for
good.
example, like I love Mikel Arteta, but he spent his entire time basically playing at Everton, and now he's the manager. So there's that.
The Mikel Arteta derby, we could call this as well. Of course, Everton v Arsenal will be live on Sky Sports Premier League. Will kick off at 8 o'clock. Our overall head-to-head stats: total matches 213. Arsenal wins 107. Everton wins 61 with 45 draws thrown in. Since it's been a while since you've been on the show, first of all, to Brandon, what's your thoughts on how our season has unfolded so far, Brandon? Are you happy with the way Arsenal have started the campaign to nearly midpoint now?
Well, it's been a strange one because obviously we've had such a tough run of away games, and so I thought after the start of it, if we hit Christmas and we were there or thereabouts, I'd be delighted. Now, as I say, we're nearly at Christmas, we're 2 points clear, and everyone seems to be panicking a bit. Now, I think that's more so performances rather than results because the results have been great, been outstanding, really. Performance wise, yeah, not so much. A lot of the new players have bedded in relatively well, some of them better than others. I would say, obviously, Gyökeres and Eze, even though he scored a hat trick against Spurs, he hasn't really hit the heights he could do. But then at the same time, you've got your Madueke, who I don't think anybody expected much of, has been brilliant. Same with Mosquera, wasn't expected.
No.
And yeah, so on that sort of front, I think I'm happy. Everyone's looking for us to fail, as per usual, but we should expect that. But like as the players always say, we've got to take one game as it comes. And the one thing I will sort of harp on about is last weekend, who I thought we were awful, to be fair. If Liverpool or City had won that game after playing so badly, they'd have been heralded from the heavens, and we're just being shot down over it. You know, they equalised, and we went straight back up the field and scored the winner.
And that's what
So.
separates us from the, yesteryear's season where we would have taken that draw, but the desire to go on to get a winner shows where the strength of mentality that Arteta's installed, doesn't it? That never give up till the last.
Yeah, and you know, we've scored a lot of late goals. We've conceded a lot of late goals as well, unfortunately. But shows, I think it shows the level of the league has increased. Apart from the last number of years where City sort of ran away with it and was steamrolling teams, you know, teams were beaten against Man City in the tunnel a lot of the times. Now I think that sort of leveled out a bit. They've lost their air of invincibility, but. You know, there's all teams taking points off each other, which is good. So, if we drop points against Villa or Sunderland, at least they're then further down the line taking points off someone else, in relation to the sort of, you know, the title challenge. So, no, look, I'm happy enough.
Stay
2 points, can't moan. To be fair,
humble mode. It's a good way to
yeah,
be, Brandon.
stay humble. That'd be good.
Bryant,
Good point.
top of the league, top of the Champions League. What's your take on Arsenal season to date, Bryant? Are you happy?
So I think.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
For me, what it comes down to is over these past years, at least since I first went to Dublin, thank you again, that was a lovely time. But we've had this I think that we always should have this mindset that we deserve to be like at the top, going for the title, whatever period and stuff. But because of these successive third, sorry, second place finishes, like I don't think that we should be anywhere else but top of the table at this point of the year because, I mean, we have the results, we have the squad, we have a better squad than we've had in countless years. And we've been saying that year and year and year and year. But now I think it's officially something that I can just go to sleep at night and be very comfortable with. There is such depth, there's such, poise. We've been here before. As Jerry said, though, it's like more challenging when if you haven't won it to get over that hump, and then once you're the winner, then everything is move out and everything, right? But what I will say about last week, because I've been spending a few of my recent weeks not in the city and in Connecticut watching games, not with people. So sometimes I don't really want to hear everybody's like chiming in about the game and this and the other because there are a lot of younger cats nowadays who just blame like a certain player who I prefer that not to blame, Martin Odegaard. And I'm like, look, you have been watching for maybe like a few years. You don't know how bad it used to be, but just like take it in stride. But with last week though, one of the things that was pointed out was like, well, we didn't score a single goal. We won the game without scoring one goal. And that's kind of the things that you need to get done. Like the ugly wins are how you win titles. It's not going to be beautiful. I don't want every game to be a, well, I do, but I don't need every game to be a 4-0 or a whatever. I don't need, I definitely don't need what happened with United on Monday where they, of course, shat the bed again, excuse my language. But I'm happy. I just need these little hiccups like the, oh God, that was even worse with the Villa game. And my feed cut out seconds before they scored the winning goal. And I was like, what's happening?
You're
What's happening? What's
lucky.
happening? And then I didn't
I
really want
wish
to
to
know.
speak to Phil.
Am I lucky? I would rather have commiserated at the same time of everybody as opposed to like 10 minutes later or whatnot. But it is what it is. And I just think we need to, as I was said before, a lot of the tough away games have been dealt with. We just need to keep it consistent. We're getting people back. I'm loving the news about Gabriel coming back sooner than I guess we thought. Havertz is before the end of the year, allegedly.
Yeah.
We have Jesus back, who did not score that goal. We have Saliba's back. The only thing that I'm really upset about is the Mascara situation because he was fitting in very well. And then he seemed to go down just like everything was like coasting along. I was fine with the fact that he was that Gabriel was out, and then boom, injury. And it's always these freaking injuries every year. It just seems that this is the one thing that really drags us down. However, this year we have backup. We just need them to, solidify themselves in their positions. I mean, no one's going to take the two center defenders away from their rightfully earned spots, but like I said, sleeping well at night, nice thing.
As long as consistency and no injuries, I think we stand a good chance of winning trophies this season for sure. In terms of our opponents on tomorrow, of course, Everton under David Moyes, who's in charge, they had a good summer transfer
I'm not happy he's back.
window. They signed Jack Grealish on loan from City, Kieran Dewsbury-Hall came in from Chelsea, Tyler Dibling from Southampton, who had a good season there last year. Carlos Alcaraz, Tierno Berti from Villarreal, and our Irish own Mark Travers from Bournemouth. they're going well themselves, I suppose. They're in ninth position at the moment. The Gunners first, of course, 16 play for both teams. The Gunners with 36 points, Everton with 24. Everton have scored 18, while the Gunners have scored 30. Our previous meetings, last three, the 5th of April last year was a 1-1 draw. Leandro Trossard scored, and Ndiaye with a penalty for Everton. 14th to the 12th, we always seem to meet Everton around this Christmas time, always in December, 0-0 draw. And the 19th to the 5th, 24, was the last game of the season. Of course, 2-1 at the Emirates. Tomiyasu, Kai Havertz with the goals for ourselves and Gueye for Everton. Our last three away matches, though, was at the old Goodison Park. Of course, was last April, as I said, 1-1. Before that was Leandro Trossard scored a winning goal on the 17th of 9, 2023. It was also David Raya's first game, and that was the game where Aaron Ramsdale never saw another game and goal, aside from I think one or two more games. But that's where Raya cemented his goalkeeping spot for the Gunners. And of course, the 4th of 2, 2023 was Sean Dyche's first game in charge. 1-0, the betters that day, James Tarkowski. With the goal there. In terms of the form guide, the last five games, starting with Everton, from the latest game down, Everton last weekend they lost 2-0 to Stamford Bridge, 2-1 for ourselves against Wolves, as we all know. Nottingham Forest at home, they won 3-0. Bournemouth away, they lost 1-0, beaten 4-1 at home by Newcastle. And United, he won 1-0 away when Gueye got sent off for slapping Michael Keane in the face. Our last five games, as I said, Wolves 2-1 last weekend, 3-0 against Bruges in the Champions League, 2-1 against Villa. Of course, we lost, always on our Dublin Arsenal Sports Club Christmas party, we seem to lose. So, note to Martin, never pick a game in December for that. 2-0 against Brentford, and then a 1-1 draw against Chelsea, of course, for ourselves. Everton are winless in their last five Premier League games against Arsenal, drawn two, lost three, having won four of their five against them before this, losing one. Under Arsene Wenger, between October 96 and May 2018, Arsenal won more Premier League away games against Everton than they did against any other side, 11. Since Wenger's departure, they've won just one of their seven visits to the Toffees, drawn two, lost four. Which was quite a statistic when I looked at that today. Top scorers for Everton, Illiman the Ndiaye has four goals, and he seems to be a bit of a live wire for Everton. Since he signed from Sheffield United a couple of seasons ago, Tiernan Dewsbury Hall has four goals. He's impressed me. Scored that screamer against United at Old Trafford, that 1-0 win. Idrissa Gueye with two, and Jack Grealish with two goals, and he's kind of had a resurgence in his career since coming on loan from City. He's got the freedom of the park, from Moyes. He's not tied down to kind of what Guardiola wants. I think that suits him. For ourselves, top scorers, Eberechi Eze with four, Victor Gyokeres with four, Bukayo Saka with four, and Leandro Trossard makes up the quartet with four goals. Jordan Pickford has six clean sheets, and David Raya has eight. Assist wise, Jack Grealish has four, and Illiman Ndiaye and James Garner's two each. For ourselves, Declan Rice, Mikel Merino, and Leandro Trossard has three each as well. To yourself, Brendan, new stadium for Everton, the Hill Dickinson Stadium. Goodison Park was like Highbury, an old school ground, tight fans tied to the ground. What have you made of Everton's season so far, Brendan? Lying ninth in the table, it's kind of where Everton are, isn't it? Mid-table team.
Yeah, well, they've been hot and cold for the last number of seasons. They pull out some remarkable results, and then also they'll get beaten by anybody, top or bottom, it seems. But I think the issue with Everton was they were sort of messing around with their managerial sort of appointments, and some of them the.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Fans weren't very happy with. I know Big Sam, they hated him, even though he kept them steady. And then they were a little bit all over the place. So it showed, I think, stability, which is something I think Moyes brings to them. But yeah, they're I think they're flattering to deceive a little bit at the moment. They're ninth. But as you were saying on you know, their current form is exactly sort of mid-table, beating some teams, losing to some teams. So win one, lose one, win one, lose one. Yeah, hopefully. The problem is they always seem to be up for it against us. Yeah. They've scored a few late winners against us.
Yeah, they and
have. Yeah, they always seem to fancy Arsenal.
Well, the question is, who isn't up for it against us?
Yeah.
Well, that is very true. Yeah. That is very true.
Yeah.
Lots of
I feel like everybody wants to take something out of us just because, I mean, we all know about this Arsenal hatred syndrome situation. I can't stand that I just used the Trump term, but whatever. The point is that, like, it's just ridiculous that, I mean, they want to get up for our games. And I'm looking at it right now, like their last results, and I'm like, ew. Like, really? 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 But, like, also, as you said, like, you know, top teams and bottom teams. Like, so a point that was made earlier, like, you know, we basically, so they would lose games to the top teams and the bottom teams, or they win a game. We did the same thing. We were soft prior, like that Wenger area that you were referencing before. We were soft. We didn't have like the strong constitution to just get things over the line, and we would come into the bar and watch the game, and then I would say be surprised, but not really be surprised if we lost or drew or whatever, when a game should be as simple as, I mean, maybe not against like a Burnley, but
I think being a new stadium as well, Brian,
you know
they haven't, Goodison Park was different.
It changes things.
Yeah, I think a bigger stadium, a new
right, because we stumbled when we got to the Emirates. So, our first game was a draw or a loss, right?
They've adapted a lot, haven't they, to their new stadium, Brendan, the Hill Dickinson. Everton have adapted quite quickly, though, haven't they?
I was literally about to bring that point up.
Yeah.
You would have normally there's a big drop off when teams move to a new stadium, and they don't seem to. It hasn't seemed to be pronounced, but that may be in the case of they're beating some teams and losing to some teams. It's probably not noticed as much. But I know anyone that plays football, you go to a different stadium, there's a different bounce on the ball, there's a different atmosphere around the pitch and stuff like that. So it does take a little bit of getting used to.
Right.
That's why teams play better at home, because they're used to it against opposition that aren't. So but credit to Everton. They seem to have taken in their stride. And hopefully they won't like their own stadium at the weekend too much.
I have to say another thing, fair play to Everton as well for keeping Goodison Park and for allowing the Everton women to play on, as you know, it's what should be done on most grounds before they think of demolishing them. You know, it would have been actually nice to see Highbury. The women's game hadn't come to what it is now, sadly, in 06, you know, so it's great to see Goodison Park. It will always be there for generations to come, you know. So,
one of my favourite grounds to go to, because it reminded me so much of Highbury.
Yeah, it's.
And they used to play the FA Cup semi-finals there, and
the team tune was quite unique, Brendan, as well, wasn't it? The team tune they played before the start of the match when the players came out was
oh, that song,
What players? Brendan, sorry, they made a quite good few signings there in the summer, particularly Jack Grealish and Dewsbury Hall. They've added something to the Everton side, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I love Jack Grealish. I love watching him. He's a player I think anybody that's a football fan would want to watch.
Yeah,
and I think watching him sitting on the bench for City was a travesty, I think. But I know, like, Guardiola has a rigid system, and obviously he was that much of a flair player. And watching him now, like, he does fall over too much. He's probably, I think he's earned the most fouls against him. He goes down far too easy, but that's his game. He plays it and wins them, and they are fouls. So
Yeah.
I love to watch him. I think he's got that cheeky sort of personality that, even though he does play for the opposition, you still have an admiring little glance at him or whatever. And yeah, great player. And they bought, like, Dewsbury Hall, good player as well. Don't know as much about him, but he's every time you see him, he looks solid enough that it looks like there's a bit of a player in there.
Yeah, and Jordan Pickford as well in
He's
goal.
a playboy footballer.
That's
I
the
can't
terminology.
stand him. He's just
But
always on the
he adds
ground,
something
always
to it
on the
though, doesn't
ground.
he, Brian? As annoying
Well,
as he is to.
there's a dynamism that you get these free kicks, right?
Yeah.
Because he's on the ground. So that opens up an entire different level of opportunity for the team that wouldn't have had it otherwise. So
Yeah.
I understand, but as you said, as an opposition, I'm like, well, I don't want to see that. Like, I'm basically watching the English Neymar just fall over all the time, and I'm not really interested in like the roly-poly situation. Okay, come on.
Yeah.
Mean, Humpty Dumpty,
You'll plenty
get
of
on
it
the wall.
tomorrow.
Come on, dude.
Even though he
Yeah.
wasn't playing because he came off with a hamstring injury, I think, didn't
Yeah, he did, which is a bit worrying. And Jordan Pickford always has one of those games that he says literally everything, doesn't he, when he
Oh,
plays against Arsenal.
God.
That last year at the Emirates, he literally saved anything. He got in the way of everything. And it
Did
was
you
one of those.
say
How that
Pickford
ended
or
in him,
Donnarumma?
no, Jordan Pickford.
I don't like
No, I know what you said.
He could be. He thinks he's Donnarumma, but he's not Donnarumma. What,
I mean, he plays
Brian?
like
From
him
what,
against us.
from the players that you've seen this season for Everton, Brian, what players would worry you on Saturday? What players have you?
I wasn't aware of the fact that Grealish was out.
He's not
But,
confirmed.
of course
He's
I
not
would have
out.
said, well, he may or may not be, but okay, so, well, I guess he'll play regardless because who else do they have? But my point is, he worries me. And I know I really shouldn't choose a goalkeeper to worry me, but Pickford definitely does because he just pulls these things out of his hat. And you're not supposed to have a hat these days, right, as a keeper. So I don't know what's going on, but that's weird. So I guess we're gonna let him get away with that. But yeah, I just don't like, because I feel like when you take a lot of shots, a lot of chances, and they're all just saved, you get discouraged. And I can see aspects of that every now and then creeping in. Like, I don't really want to like harp on this, but it gets fairly discouraging when you're putting every you have like a wonderful build-up move and everything, and then boom, he comes from like, I don't know, the Tower of London. Or no, I'm sorry, he comes from Goodison Park and then saves it in the new stadium. And I'm like, what? How did you do that? Where did you get a cab? Like, what's going on? The cab's not even that fast. What's going on? Travis can... Anyway, the point is, I am worried about that. I'm worried about, I'm always worried about Tarkowski because I like him as a player. He can get a little dirty, and I don't need our players getting a little roughed up because no. Do they still have Gay, Idrissa
Yeah, he still have Idrissa Gueye, yeah,
Gay?
in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, I'm always a little worried about him. Yeah, okay, there you go. That's it. Oh, and the crowd. I don't think I've ever watched a Everton home game because I know that Goodison was like a it had similarities to Upton Park where they're all up on you. So I don't know as much about that, but I was always a little bit displeased with the crowd because they're a little bit more amped than I guess we have been in the past, not these days anymore, thank God. But yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those raucous atmospheres, all right there. They can make it intimidating. The Everton fans were very passionate, like the Arsenal fans as well, I think. The old school, founded around the same time as ourselves, 1884,
Right.
I think, and ourselves was 1886. And probably
Think so, yeah.
the predicted lineup, probably possibly for Everton, Pickford in goal, Jake O'Brien, the Irish lads, of course. Tarkowski, Keane, and Mikalenko at the back.
Excuse me.
Dewsbury Hall, Grealish, Gueye, and Garner, sorry, in midfield, and Vardy and Ndiaye possibly up front. And on the bench, McNeil, Beto, Dibling, Alcaraz, Patterson, and Mark Travers. In terms of the Irish that played for Everton, and there's been quite a few, Seamus Coleman, of course, one of our own. Jake O'Brien,
Yeah, of
Mick
course.
Eadie, James McCarthy, Shane Duffy, Lee Kersley, Richard Dunne, Gareth Fernley, who will always be remembered for that late goal against Wimbledon back in the day in 98, 99, or 97, 98, might have been. Terry Phelan, Kevin Sheedy, and the man himself that he named after Zidane, Zinedine Kilbane, or better known as Kevin Kilbane, to the Irish. Your memories of them, Brendan, the Irish that played for the Toffees, quite kind of like Liverpool. There's always a big connection there, isn't there?
Yeah, but there's a lot of Irish in Liverpool, so
Yeah,
there's
and
yeah,
I thought Liverpool was part of Ireland.
definitely. I don't know, you got a heart. I mean, Seamus Coleman, obviously, being from Donegal, stock myself, he's I do like Seamus and
And the transfer
Richard
fee that
Dunn.
they paid for him, Brendan, 300 grand, I think it was at the time. That was a steal when you look at the career he's had at Everton. Wasn't it? That was the signing of the century, wasn't it?
Oh, amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
But like, liked Richard Dunn. Yeah, I thought he could always have played at a higher level for a higher club. He didn't really get much. He was really a mid-table player, but I thought he could have done better. Yeah, really, like McGeady, Kevin Sheedy was amazing. He was a really, really good player. But
Yeah.
I've always been a big fan of Kilbane. I met him a few times out at Ireland
Did you?
games, and
Yeah.
I had a drink with him on a couple of occasions, and just the nicest guy. I had a lot of time for him. So,
Yeah, he was a lad's lad, wasn't he? Yeah, it was nothing too stuck up about him. Yeah. I thought
can
with.
I just say one thing?
Yeah,
I
go
think
ahead.
Copilot is drunk. Copilot is drunk. It just said to me that the current Everton squad for the 2025-26 season includes players such as Jordan Pickford, Jarrad Brathwaite, and Cole Palmer.
The Everton squad, unless he signed last week.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I'm looking at it right here. It says it right
Don't
there.
believe in
Don't know what to tell
Copilot.
you.
Yeah, we've
Don't know what
told
to
him
tell
about this.
you.
There's
Don't
been a
worry.
few.
Clearly, ladies and gentlemen, do not believe in Copilot. And no, there you go.
There's
You
been
heard
a
it
few.
for all of your incoming tests going on.
There's been a few Americans as well that have played for the Toffees since Brian Dazan. Landon Donovan, probably one of the better known.
Oh, what's his name? Yeah.
Marcus Hanneman, the goalkeeper. Tim Howard had a great career as
Yeah.
well.
Yes.
Brian
Right.
McBride, can't get any more Irish than that. Joe Maxwell
Yeah.
as well. They there's been a great connection between the two countries. Our the League Cup semi-final draw was made as well during the week, lads, as we all know. And if we get past Crystal Palace on Tuesday of this week, an 8 p.m. kickoff, we will play Chelsea with the first leg in January and the second leg in February. The Gunners' festive fixtures, and there's quite a lot of them. Everton, of course, tomorrow night. Crystal Palace on Tuesday at home. The 27th, Brighton at home, 3 p.m. kickoff. Don't get many of them. The 30th will be against Aston Villa, an 8:15 kickoff at home. We're away on the 3rd of
Ah,
January against
shit.
Bournemouth. The 8th of January is Liverpool, which will be at home 8 p.m. That's a massive.
Ooh.
And then Portsmouth in the FA Cup, which begins away. That should be a good away day. Brendan, they're tough fixtures, aren't they? The way the season's going now.
They are. I mean, they're all tough fixtures, but I think I read there last week that somebody had put it up, like, we drop points against the next six teams that we play in the league. We dropped points against them last season.
Yeah,
Now,
so
that being referred back before, but
yeah.
we did really well against the big boys last year, and dropped points against the smaller teams. But yeah, we just again, like I said it earlier, we have to take each game as it comes. Every game's a cup final. When you've got City breathing down your neck like that, it really is. And I know that they're all meant to have sat down and had a big chat with each other after last weekend, but yeah. But it's like it's funny because sometimes, like, we went through a stage we weren't very good at playing at like 12 o'clock. Now this new 8 o'clock on a Saturday is a new kickoff time, really, and
Yeah.
that seems, obviously, hopefully, after last week, we'll get a better performance out of them. But yeah.
So what is it with this though? I'm curious because I know that it obviously works out somewhat good for me, but I'm not necessarily a huge fan because I like 7:30. Sorry, I'm gonna do American time, New York
Yeah.
time. 7:30, 10, 12:30, that's it. I don't want 3 o'clock. I have things to do. I have a Saturday night to plan and like it's gonna
It
mess my day up tomorrow,
has to
but
work for the
and
Chinese
they're bringing the
market as
cup
well.
tomorrow actually to O'Hanlon's.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
The
we have a new one
12:30
who's joined the
kickoffs
chat. Look at
is
that.
3 p.m. in China.
Well,
You know,
one of the things you've got to look at as well,
well,
Liverpool
that's
is,
perfect for that.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is mad, isn't it? Yeah.
The actual fans
Yeah.
attending, Liverpool is 3.5 hours from London. That game will finish after 10 o'clock, probably. So there's no way you'll get a train back. You
No.
can't fly back. You'll have to drive.
Yeah.
So that means you're not getting back till
Now,
two.
when did the train shut down in England?
About 11
Well,
o'clock, isn't it?
this
There
is a
you are.
serious
Yeah,
question.
a 3.5 hour train ride.
yeah.
You know.
Wait. So what time?
I know. I
Well,
think the tube, Brandon, is nearly 11, 12 midnight, isn't it? I know the normal train is probably even
sorry.
later. Yeah.
I'd be like
All right,
you're.
because I know that commuter rail here shuts down at like 1:50 at night. And then the subway, as you probably know, does not shut down ever. So there's that. That's cute.
It's not cute if you're in Liverpool trying to get back to London.
No, it's not. Not at all. No.
Aside from
Well,
train
it's cute,
times,
meaning it's not cute.
I need to get your predictions for tomorrow, lads. And I don't to begin with, are you our New York Gooner, Brian, your prediction for tomorrow?
How many times do I have to tell you that I do not predict, but for you and for this little event that we're involving ourselves in, this weekly, bi-weekly event, maybe more, I'm gonna go with a conservative 3-0, 2-0, 2-2, 2-0.
Okay, 2-0 says Brian.
Yes.
Your prediction?
Oh, for Arsenal, by
Okay,
the
Brandon.
3-1 Arsenal, I'm going.
I'm going with 2-0 Arsenal as well. I'd like to thank Brendan Boyle and Brian for their contributions for the show. Catch our show
And I
on
had one thing.
very quickly.
They're bringing the cup, the Premier League trophy to my bar. Actually, it's doing an entire circular around like a lot of bars in the city, but we get it for the longest 2 hours, from 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock. So
Okay.
wonderful.
Okay. Catch our show on Spotify and on the
That's
Dublin Mercer YouTube channel.
it. Get your
And
Arsenal
like,
shirt on,
comment,
Brian.
subscribe. Today's bread today. That's for you, Richie. Until the next time, thanks for listening and watching, and keep drinking. Got there in the end.